Blog Talk Radio.
Family, welcome to the Curator Read Room. You've got your Omiinka live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani and welcome to the Curator Read Room. That's right, I'm on a different day, ladies and gentlemen. I came on because I was going to be entertaining a guest. I'm not sure if he's going to be with us or not. We're waiting for him to call in. Our topic today is on black economy. Where are we headed? Picture that in your mind for a minute. Where are we headed? And are we caught up into our own humanity? We really need to take a stiff look at our economy, ladies and gentlemen. If we're not going to get wealth now between the year of 2013 and the next year, we could become permanent underclass. And as I told you earlier, I refuse to be a permanent underclass, and we're going to have to figure out ways that we can pool our assets and allow our dollar to circulate in our hands at least 8 to 10 times in our neighborhoods. But you ask the question, homie, where are our neighborhoods and where are our communities? We've got to fix that little problem. Once we figure out how to fix that little problem, then we can create our own reservation and have our own location of our neighborhood. And we're going to be talking about that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you're free to call in at that number, 646-478-0270. Why don't you lock it in? And we're broadcasting all over Twitter. We're broadcasting on Facebook. And my Facebook followers, you're welcome to come right in and pose your question. We do not have to offer you a personal invitation, but you are welcome in this room to pose questions and to be a part of our discussion. And we invite you to do that. These are issues that are pertinent for black African Americans. We are not trying to structure a program for the Hispanics. We're not trying to structure one for the Jewish people or the Caucasian. This is an African American room. We're trying to find a solution for our problems, and that is why when I speak on this topic, I am not speaking generically what's good for the whole community. I'm speaking what's good for the African Americans, and that is all I'm talking about because that's the only person I have information on to talk about. So, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you come in and get involved and get into the discussion? We can fix all these issues together as we look at a communal effort to solve our problems. Stay tuned. Here's a little listening music for your ear. We'll be right back at you. So hold tight and get your questions ready. We need to hear from you. Stay tuned.
Baby, no, not me. I can't wait to see your grin.
welcome back, family. And we will not be doing our rites of passage or our ritual right now. We'll go right into our topic since we came on a little late. I'd like to also brush you again. Once again, our headboard is talking about black economy. Where is it headed? Now, most of the women are employed and they're working, and they have income coming in, and they're the majority of the African race who are employed. So we're going to have to put our heads together. So, ladies, you can call in at any time. We're going to have to put our heads together and find out how we can pool our resources together and make investments and purchase things on an economic status on a larger scale. One of the things I do know is that we're not broke. We are certainly not broke. We are endowed with resources. We are just using our resources in the wrong places. Now, what do you ask me? How do you purchase in your own neighborhood and buy from your own neighborhoods when there are no black stores in your community? And how do you stay out of the malls when mostly everything is featured in the mall? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have the answers to all these questions, and I don't even pretend to have the answers. But what I will say to you is this: we've got to spread the wealth around. But when we're feeling like we have to do business with every Tom, Dick, Joe, and Harry, and they come into our communities, and we immediately oblige them by doing business with them, we've got to get a hold of ourselves. You would not find an Arab or a Chinese or a Japanese coming in to give you their business. They're just not going to do that. Now, we're the only ones that have this humanitarian attitude that we must do business with everyone. They will take their business somewhere else, even though they may have to be shortchanged and lose money. They keep their money in their nationality. And we're going to have to keep our monies in the area where blacks will benefit the most. The biggest thing is, if you look back over the billboard, it talks about Gap. And I was wondering if anybody was going to notice the Gap ban. During the time of the 60s, the Gap ban, they were really concerned about our economy. And they kept singing in their song, "You dropped the bomb on me." Now, what does that term mean? You dropped the bomb on me. What happened? If we had all of these black industries and corporations, think about the streets now, Archer, Greenwood, and Pine. Those were the flourishing streets that were located in areas that had businesses. Those names you should never forget in the form of the street, because they were flourishing and doing well. We had our own baseball teams. We had our own broom industries. We had our own hair products. We were actually flourishing during the 60s, but we wanted to integrate. Therein lies the problem. When we integrated and brought our goods in to collaborate with other non-African Americans, we actually integrated ourselves away so we don't even exist anymore. But we had the civil rights, you say. Omi, we had the civil rights. We could get out there and march and get anything we want. I want you to get marching out of your head. I want you to get voting out of your head. I know it's your inalienable right, but it takes money to run a campaign. And if you don't have money to give to these politicians, then you're not doing yourself any favor by getting any laws passed that will affect the black community. Because you are thinking you are going to make a change by giving your vote or getting out there to march. We're going to have to do things a little bit differently. We're going to have to stop talking about marching to change the climate for black people. We're going to have to start talking about using our assets and resources. Now, Clyde Anderson said that there were several levels that we need to start on, and I'm not going to be able to talk about all of them here today. But he talked about taking our money, ladies, and buying the political parties. That's right, buying the political parties. Now, I'm quoting him. Then he also talked about buying systems, economic systems that we need to have in our back pocket. And when he talked about that, he indicated that you would have a stronghold in these various different levels. That means you would have say-so. Right now, we don't have say-so over anything, not in the political system, not in the police department, not in the court system, not even in the education system. So we are going to have to come to a point where we have control over these systems so that we will have the upper hand. What do you mean, only the upper hand? The upper hand means to be able to have a fair chance. But economic cannot continue to go outside of our communities and we become poor. Now, here lies the problem. Some gentleman spoke to me the other day about our rituals and our holidays and how we don't really practice different holidays as Pan-Africans. We just give up on them. I want to say to those Pan-Africans, that therein lies where our big opportunity is to make money for our community, is that we must stress, we must practice our African-American holidays, not just Kwanzaa. We must create the Bread of Leaven, Passover. We must also look at some of the holidays that we are already practicing, that some of the Jewish people are practicing. These are various different events in the Bible. We must create an opportunity where we need certain commodities to practice our ritual, certain garments and clothing, and we know when the time of the year will be that we will have the most need for those different products, then we sell and buy from ourselves as we celebrate our holidays. There lies the opportunity, just like in slavery. They knew that those slave owners were going to be purchasing massive amounts of shoes for their slaves every year. There was a guaranteed economic bargain there. We've got to create guaranteed economic bargains where we are purchasing from ourselves at certain times of the year during our celebrations. Now, it's not because you love all of these holidays. It's because it's a money-making event. So why is everybody commercializing Kwanzaa and making money off of us? That cannot be anymore. Sisters and brothers, we must embrace our holidays, which is the first fruit. That is not a spiritual holiday. As we do continue to celebrate Christmas, it's been in the economy. And by taking it away and pouting and saying you don't believe in Christmas anymore, it doesn't matter. People are still making a profit off of Christmas and you. So why can't you make a profit off of your own Christmas holiday and continue to celebrate the holiday and make a profit off of it like it was intended to do? Now, here's my case in point. I want to say that black people are suffering. They're living from day to day and pillow to pole. Some do not even know how they're going to eat from week to week or have transportation or car allowance. So we've got to set up carpooling. Why were we much smarter back in the 60s than we are now? You got people standing on every bus stop waiting till wee hours of the night to get on buses that don't even run in our suburban community. Then if you got brothers and sisters going to the same place, carpool, put your money in together. That's what white folks do when they get ready to travel large, long places. They put their money together and they carpool and they cut down on the gases that are in the atmosphere, so there are fewer fuel being exhausted in the air. We don't trust one another. That's possibly why. So how are we going to get to trust one another? And how are we going to get to believe in one another when some of the churches are also accentuating that a black person cannot be trusted? We've got to throw those concepts away and begin to first develop trust in one another, so that we can believe in each other and we can believe that our word is our bond. But we must stop gathering unto our own and stockpiling and conniving to get additional things and stuff. We have got to live. Black people, we've got to thrive. We've got to do more than thrive. We've got to get over the grain house. We've got to prosper. And when our children see us going after stuff and things, they have their alliance to stuff and things as their God. You're not going to be able to tell them about a God in the sky because they're not buying it. They're not looking for anything that's exteriorly up in the atmosphere. They want to make their God and things their stuff. But we can change that. by reinventing our communities and really start talking about how we can make a village out of each and every one of us families. We don't need any villages just growing up out of nowhere because they've scattered us enough. Let me tell you something about the Dow's List. We need to go after the Dow's List. If the Dow's List was invented for those Native Americans who could prove that they were Native Americans and got on the list to allow them to be able to get benefits and certain inheritance. But if you look back now on that Dow's List, and 90% of those people on that Dow's List who proclaim to be Native Americans are not truly Native Americans. There was something called the $5 List, I understand, where people that were white descendants were able to pay $5 to get their names put on that list based on what was told to me. I can't confirm this, but from what I understand, they could pay to get their names on that list, and the African Americans' names were not put on the list, even if they had an ounce of Native American blood in them. So that means that the majority of the people on that list are not Native Americans. Not even the gentleman who proclaims to be full-blooded Native American who is getting the benefits living out on the reservation, you say. That's right. So then we need to go after that list and find out who African Americans are eligible to go on that list. And if they are, and if they have rights and benefits, then allow their names to go on that list rightfully. There's so many misdemeanors and undermining things that have happened to us. It's a wonder if we ever got our fair share. Now, you know that land wasn't worth anything at one time. Until a slave was put on that land, the land became worth something once there was a slave attached to that land. That means that we endowed the land to become powerful. But we don't own any, you say, Omi. So how are we going to get to own some land? How are we going to get to reap the benefits off the land and leave that as an inheritance for our children? We've got to leave inheritance for our children. You got some folks say, I won't help my child. He's got to make it on his own. Well, I'm here to tell you, parents, you're responsible for leaving an inheritance to your children. I don't care if it's a car. I don't care if it's a pushmobile. You're responsible for leaving an inheritance to your children. The reason why our children do not look up to us today and they're angry with us, we have left no inheritance for our children. We must do that because it gives them a running start so that they can start on a good note and begin to prosper. But when they're at a deficit and have to purchase their own cars right out of college, get their own apartment, get on their feet, pay their bills, they're overwhelmed. And it's important for us to become wealthy, so we can offer them some sort of an inheritance. Not when you die, but I'm talking about while you're right here on this earth. We've got to look at our economy and say we've got to quit buying Gucci bags. We've got to quit buying name brand outfits. Stop buying them. You got to quit buying these $200, $2,000 pieces of hair that we can grow ourselves. We got to quit buying it. You spending over $2,000 a year on your hair alone, that's an investment that you can make in your children. When you walk around here saying, I only wear the best, who cares what you got on your back? It's what's developing inside of you. So we've got to stop living royally in outfits and garments and whatchamajiggas and driving around and name brand this and name brand that and even putting name brand clothes on our infants and toddlers. What a disgrace. Our infants and toddlers don't need any name brand clothes. Save that money for them. Make an investment in some stock for them so that they can use that stock when they get older to advance themselves. We've got to create an economic present. We've got to stay in the market. We've got to let every person know, including Caucasian, Jewish people, we're still alive and well and can participate in the market, in the economic market, and we can trade on the economic market. But if you have no funds to trade with and you have wasted all your money away and all of this nonsense, then you cannot compete. So we are going to have to learn to put away our foolishness. When we were a child, We thought like a child. Now that we're older, we think as older elders, and we put away those things. We can no longer continue to outbuy people and buying things that are not on sale. Check your things out through the market and find out what's on sale. Purchase only when you need to and buy only when you can buy on sale. Start saving some money. Putting money in your mattress will do it. Not necessarily in your on your debit card so you can get all these overdrafts and your money dwindles away. Try taking some of these dollar bills and renting your stock. They're now renting stock. You can rent stock and make a profit off of it, guaranteed to get back what you put in. Stop playing the lottery so much. All on Facebook, everybody wants to play lottery. You have no control over that. You want to have control over a market that you can manipulate, not one that you're guaranteed to lose. We've got to get a grip of our economic status. We've got to live better and have a better quality of life. And mothers and women and teachers who are working and bringing in the big moolah, do something with your money this year. Don't just bring in $50,000, $60,000 and do nothing with it, go on a cruise and a trip, and you have nothing to show for it. Put a little money aside so you buy some stocks and bonds so at the end of the year you have something to splurge on. You can reward yourself. We pay ourselves too much because we have a lifestyle we want to live up to. We have a quality of life we want to live up to. Your quality of life is being balanced, and being balanced means everybody is sufficient and satisfied. Don't wait till something happens, and then now you got to mortgage your house in order to get somebody out of trouble. Put a little something away for a rainy day, because our economic status is very important now. Because now with the new immigrants coming in and they're coming with money, they can buy and they can bargain and they can leverage their money. We have none to leverage, but we can change that. We can change that today by not going into these beauty stores, buying that extra pair that we used to spend our money on, by not getting perms for at least 6 months and wearing our hair natural, by stop buying those brand name shoes and Gucci bags. We can change things overnight. We can make a better economic status for ourselves, and we can change our way of life. I want a better way of life for our children. I don't want them struggling, trying to keep a roof over their head while we're hoping and praying that they don't take homes away from us. We got to be more proactive about our homes being taken away. You got to also fight for your homes. You got to put out motions, interrogatory, go to court, fight for your home, and try to retrieve your homes back if they've been taken for tax purposes. You've got to understand, we've got to get over the greenhouse this time. We can no longer use excuses that they're not giving us the jobs. We are the jobs. We've got to be the jobs and create from those 9 industries for our young people and giving them an opportunity to start working and flourishing and learning how to handle money. A good steward is all we are. We're stewards over this money. We don't own anything. And when you no longer prove that you can be a good steward, the monies will be taken away. And tell your children they're only but stewards over the money that they're managing, and they must manage the money appropriately so that all the bills are paid and that they can eat and have meat in their storehouse. And yes, every now and then have a little leisure. We don't want to exclude that. I'm not telling you to live like a pauper. I'm telling you to live sensibly. And I'm telling you that this is the time we've got to circulate our money in our community. We've got to buy for ourselves, and we got to start being more wholesalers where we're wholesaling products, and we can be the manufacturer. And we can sell and put up shops right out here in Gary, Indiana. Every week they go out there peddling to each other, but nobody has gotten rich yet. So we need to have a plan to establish that so that all that money don't go to one man, and that it's diversified and it circulates through the hands of many marketers. And we've got to learn marketing strategy better than what we're doing. We just can't piddle and send different objects here and there and have no marketing strategy. We must have a marketing strategy, and we must learn how to prosper so that we can have a quality of life again. As you look back over Some of the cities like Minnesota, large black businesses were flourishing there. They were doing extremely well. And Oklahoma was where all of those streets were, Pine Street, that I talked to you about, is where they had flourishing businesses. We can get them back again, and we can start them immediately. We don't have to have a large amount of money. We can pool our money in a group effort as we look at how we can become communal people again as we marry ourselves to the community. Take care. I will see you next.